Pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I slept fast last night. I don't know about you guys. I slept fast last night. I couldn't wait to get up and get on the queue here this morning, bring Brother Dizdar in, straighten us out, talk to us about everything that's going on. I want to confess to you, I'm wearing the sweatshirt today. I'm not dressed up very nice today. I'm wearing the sweatshirt that Brother Wayne gave me. It says Coach Dave Live on it. But it's like 12 degrees here. And I snuggled up when I got up this morning. I didn't have the heat up, so I put this on. Then I came down, and Jared and I were trying to get a new microphone working, so I didn't get a chance to get into my three-piece suit and tie, so bear with me here this morning. We are lucky enough to have Russ Dizdar join us. Russ was he got banged with the flu or something last week, been down for a while, so he looks like he's up and looking pretty good. And Russ, as you always made fun of, one ear bigger than the other. Isn't that what you told me? You said that.
You can guess it. You get a prize.
That made me chuckle quite a bit. Hey, let's talk about a couple things before we turn Russ loose, because I think this whole stuff's going to play together. Number one, the Electoral College thing is over with. And whether that was a false flag and whether that was something to distract us or not, the reality of it is Larry Nichols put us onto that about 3.5 weeks ago. So you better watch that Electoral College. But one of the things that they tried to do, remember, hey, Russ, we've been talking a lot about the deception and how deceived so many people are, including Christians, how we just believe the bottom line that somebody else tells us. They put us in a box. We feel comfortable in that box. We don't even ever want to get out of that box. We don't want anybody poking any new information at all in that box, and trying to help people understand that the greatest thing going on around us is the deception. It's the most valuable weapon that the enemy has, is to deceive. In fact, he's not only a liar, he doesn't just tell lies, he's the father of lies. So this fake news and all that stuff going on around us, we have to be not ignorant of his devices and understand what's going on. So isn't it amazing that in the midst of all this electoral college and all this stuff's going on, we end up having a Russian ambassador get shot? Now, I've been all over the internet like so many of it, allegedly shot. There's no blood in the scene. You know, those tinfoil hat guys get loose and they go in 1,000 different directions, and they can create videos that really make you begin to wonder. But again, here we are. The Russians are involved. Remember when 4 years ago when Mitt Romney mentioned the Russians and they about laughed him off the stage? And now all of a sudden the Russians are that big black bear again, right in the middle of everything. Do not be ignorant of his devices and what's going on. So we saw that happen. Then over in Germany, they had what they call a truck accident, where some guy mowed down 12 people, killed 12 people, injured a bunch of other people. And so in my mind, is this stuff being orchestrated? I was reading something this morning, Russ. I'm going to give you some time. Bear with me a second. I was reading something this morning about the dark side of the Central Intelligence Agency. That same dark side that actually took out John F. Kennedy. You're grown up enough to know that didn't happen the way they told us, right? You are grown up enough to understand that there is a very dark element of the Central Intelligence Agency, and the CIA in particular is doing everything they can to make sure that Donald Trump doesn't get to be president of the United States, because he will drain that swamp. In fact, I saw that the guy he appointed to be head of the CIA is a born-again Bible-believing Christian, claims that. I don't know if you guys saw that or not. His name slips my mind right now. So we're seeing this spiritual war break out in the natural. Don't miss what's going on. And we want to think, again, how stupid Trump is, and he doesn't know what's going on, and he's an egotist. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't have any idea the information that Donald Trump is receiving and the people who are around him. And maybe some of these undercover people are coming up and telling the truth about what's going on, because somewhere down in the depths of all that have got to be some guys who love the Lord and love America. And so we don't know what's going on, other than we know that this is a spiritual war. I will put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between his seed and her seed, an eternal struggle. And it is playing out before our very eyes. I don't know where you are in your theology, and it doesn't really matter to me, but I got to tell you this. Every morning I get up, it's closer to the end of the game, isn't it? I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, the clock's running. The clock's running. At some point, it may be 1,000 years, but we're getting closer than we were. We're closer today than we were yesterday. So I don't want you to get trapped up into what I always called as a football coach, paralysis by analysis. I'm sorry, paralysis by analysis. In other words, you overanalyze everything, and you become so heavenly conscious, you're no earthly good. And this is just a scouting report that we're getting. Russ has given us a scouting report of how the enemy operates. And our job is not to say, oh, my goodness, this is what they're going to do, and then go some bungalow and build a big fortress and hide from everything. We're getting this so we can understand what's going on so that we can be more prepared for how the enemy is going to attack in these last days. Pretty good assessment of it, Russ. Is that pretty much where it is?
Absolutely. And without without that assessment, we're not being faithful to the scripture. We're not being faithful to the words of Jesus, Matthew 24. The end of days are going to be unprecedented. We can't look over our shoulders into history to say, oh, it's going to be like that. Jesus set out a new picture of the future, and it's going to be off the charts of anything in human history. And so you read the rest of prophecy. And of course we win in Christ. Of course he comes. Of course he puts down radical evil. Of course, you know, there's eternal life. There's no question about those sides. But the scripture has a lot to say about the dark sides, massive deception that will lead to massive destruction. Just quick notes on that. You're talking hundreds of millions dead in a short period of time. You're talking about the breakout of wars and rumors of wars. You're talking about the worst wickedness. You're talking about the white horse, red horse, pale horse, the black horse in Revelation 6. This tsunamis, a global release, Antichrist, this chaos that brings everything down, the collapse of the financial food chain, everything. So you're talking about some of the most dire things in human history that the CIA and the NSA and the DIA and the DOD, listen, the intelligence agencies do not have the grid to understand the future. So when they work through threat analysis, like a cop will work through threat analysis, well, threat analysis, if you do not have the biblical content, you cannot understand why it's going out of control, why nobody can stop this, why it's all being arranged in the Middle East this way.
For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he.
No, you can't see it. And listen, that's why biblical prophecy being not only infallible, but it is, you have, let's say, 1,000 prophecies, well over 500 has already been fulfilled, close to 500 needs to be fulfilled yet. Always infallibly done to the detail, like John the Baptist, you know, prophesied in advance to show up and show, you know, Judas going to, you know, betray Christ with 30 pieces of silver. Christ himself, 300 prophecies. So we have this massive prophecy concerning the end of days, and I think that we've neglected it. I think the body of Christ in the last, you know, three decades have neglected it. Now, we've walked on the field, you know, ministry the last 38 years, so we see and have targeted, been led to target the dark side, so we have a lot to talk about there, but I want to tell you again, it centers around this biblical, you know, preemptive insight, preemptive intel that God gives us. God is giving us insight way beyond threat analysis, trends, you know, people that crunch the numbers, any of that kind of stuff. So when we look at it, there is no end of days without the supernatural side. There's no Christ. There's no false prophet. There's no opening of the abyss. There's no Armageddon. There's no collapse. Without it, without the unprecedented numbers of demonic presence, and that's all in biblical prophecy, we should know this.
So what we're going to do, guys, just give wet your whistle a little bit. Russ doesn't know this yet, but we're going to set up a time. We're going to bring Russ into town, and you guys are all going to come, and we're going to do a little bit of a session with Russ, and he's going to train us on this stuff, and then we're going to go the streets with you, Russ. Whether it be in your hometown where you're more comfortable with what we want to do, we have guys who are listening to this program who are doers of the word. They want to know what to do. They're not afraid. They're uninformed or misinformed, as I believe you alluded to, and we've been talking about on the show, is the church has put a box, they put themselves in a box, and they do not want to look outside of that box, whether it's the denominational box or your theology box or whatever it is. And as a result of it, a lot of these guys have flopped out of church. And they're looking for the truth. They love Jesus. But, man, they're not getting what they – hey, Russ, they look outside and say, something's wrong out there. How come I'm not hearing about it here in this church? And so they're hungry to get figured out exactly what's going on. You follow me?
Exactly. And, again, you know, when we look at Scripture, God gives us clarity about what salvation is. And if we look at Scripture as a believer, there's clarity about discipleship, growing, getting stronger, and, you know, all that we need to be equipped with. But for a believer, you know, 10 years in, 20 years in, especially leaders that cannot answer the world. So that's part of why I press this so much. The world is asking for the answers. Why it's burning up like this, why it's going crazy. And we have scripture, like on the day of Pentecost, when Joel's prophecy was fulfilled, Peter was able to stand up and say, listen to me. He said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke about. So when we're looking at the world right now, the Middle East, this is that which numerous prophecies in Isaiah and in Jeremiah, and we can go to Revelation 17, and we can talk about how if we have this content, we'll be able to give an answer to the world and then use that answer, then bring Christ in, the Prince of Peace, then bring the gospel in, because it really does make sense. Without that content, the world doesn't make sense. Everybody's going to blame everybody. Everybody's going to point the finger. Everybody's going to be in the dark. The dark side's unprecedented deception is a global quest, Revelation 12, a global quest to assimilate, you know, 7 billion people and move it in one direction. So without any kind of aid, Jesus in us, the Spirit of God in us, and the Word of God to light up our insight, to know it, then we're going to run around like, listen, God didn't ordain the body of Christ to be little chicken littles running around just saying the sky is falling. We have an answer to boldly speak, and we have the compassion of Jesus to point to the indestructible hope, an indestructible hope to give to the rest of the world.
Okay, Russ, so last night I'm sitting around, especially after the when the Electoral College came down, he was elected. And then this thing breaks loose. They shoot this guy over in Turkey. And then all of a sudden this thing breaks off in Munich. I immediately thought of you, Russ, because I remember you talking about the MKUltras. This is where we're going to go today, folks. Imagine this. As I'm watching TV, don't watch TV. As I was going through the internet looking at different stuff last night, I immediately thought of Russ, because Russ said when this thing begins to really, really unfold, there will be what he calls triggered events. In other words, these guys who are these MKUltras, all of a sudden something's going to happen in New York, then boom, something will happen in Chicago, and something will happen in Dallas, and something will happen in Columbus. It'll be boom, 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 or even simultaneously, these things will begin to break out. So I'm sitting there last night, Russ, and I'm watching. I said, Trump looks like he's going to be elected. Boom, it hits in Turkey. Boom, it hits in Germany. I'm sitting saying, okay, here it comes. Here it comes. So if you could, Russ, we did a little primer on MKUltras. Take us a little bit through what an MKUltra is, and then explain to this how these things are programmed and how this might play out.
Okay. Well, we go back to the Nazis again. Again, the Nazis were beginning to build. They wanted to build a master race. Himmler's goal was 200 million super soldiers. So the end of the war goes. Scientists are taken all over the place. The United States took in scientists. Operation Paperclip, the Russians took in the scientists, the Brits did, everybody, you know, all these other nations took in, all the allies took in the scientists. Well, what happened in the early 50s was these scientists that had, they called it science on creating super soldiers, super weapons, missiles, all the rest of it. Well, all of that began to be disseminated. So in the American side, it came out to be what was called Monarch first. And then MKUltra, which literally is German for meaning mind control. So it was the idea of, and Sidney Gottlieb, who was the head of the technical services, he was considered the father of modern mind control. So anybody looking up Sidney Gottlieb, he passed away a number of years ago. He was highly involved. So there was a segment of the CIA. They did experimentation with LSD. They did, you know, there's MK, Naomi MK, Artichoke, Bluebird. There's a whole bunch.
When they hear MK, Russ, when they hear MK, they think mind control.
Exactly. And so in the militaristic sense, and I think I said this last time, they hired a guy, a world-renowned psychologist named G.H. Estabrook. So this is not just, you know, it's not internet stuff. It's not just somebody making it up. He's got a book that he wrote in 1947 where he already explains how they're taking United States soldiers, weaponizing the MKUltra. He said creating multiple personalities, splitting the core personality.
Let me stop you a second, Russ. You mean weaponizing the soldier through mind control? In other words, getting the soldier to do something that he would never do if he were in his right mind.
Correct. And that chapter is vital and important because it just blasts with evidence. That chapter called Weaponization talks about how this psychologist and many others, by the way, were tasked with creating sub-personalities in soldiers. They said they were able to do it. They listed four things they could program. They could create an alter personality without the main person knowing. So Soldier Joe didn't know after the hypnosis and what else they did to create the sub-personality. He went amnesiac. This part of him was trained to be either an assassin, to sow disinformation, to be an infiltrator like a spy, or to gather information, you know, to get into groups and, you know, be placed into places and to wait. So all those levels, programming in the personalities, that's spoken about.
Russ, let me paint this picture. I'm an educator by nature, right? So I always try to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So I want people to stop and think right now of some of these mass killings that we've seen, some of these things that were done in theater shootings, some things that were done in mall shootings, some of these different things. That when, after these things are done, we always see a picture of the perpetrator in a zombie-like state. Right. Think about that, right?
You're right.
They're like that Jared Loughner, I think it was, out in Colorado. When they put him down to witness stand, it's like he's just absolutely drugged. And it's literally because somebody else inside him did it, and he doesn't even remember it.
Yeah, it's like if you think in terms of just criminalistics, John Wayne Gacy, Ted Bundy, and Jeffrey Dahmer, we hear about all the atrocities they did. Each one was a had programmed sub-personalities. Each one of them were multiple. So they did massive damage. Subparts did massive damage. Now, the reason I could share this is 35 years we've worked with individuals, including military, law enforcement, many others that we've worked with, hundreds now, that have programmed sub-personalities. Shooters, those who can fight or just stab or kill or do whatever. And we've engaged programmed assassins and talk with them. We've watched how the triggering. So think in terms of this. They split personality. They program it to be a shooter. Let's think of Jared. Let's think of Holmes, also Colorado, and Jared in Arizona, or the VTech shooter even. So they create the sub-personality. The main person may not know. They're not supposed to know. They're supposed to be amnesiac. So this one's been programmed, trained, and then given a trigger code. So that all that is necessary is this one, here's the code, they come up. They go out, so the main person, like Holmes, like Jared, like the VTech shooter, oh, these are nice people, they would never do this, they don't even own a gun, they don't know how to shoot weapons, but they're all massively proficient, especially the VTech shooter. So you have them doing this. Now the VTech shooter, and everyone that we've dealt with, all programmed shooters have programmed suicide alters also. So that if they do a shooting and do what they're supposed to do, and if they're going to get caught, they're supposed to take themselves out. We've dealt with that for years and dealt with programmed suicide personalities. So when you have Jared, that's what I was going to say. I didn't get to see Jared face-to-face or Holmes face-to-face, but in observation, in observing them with what I know experientially, both of them did proficient killing, slaughtering. I do believe they were going to try to kill themselves or be simply taken out. Being caught, they go to jail. Both of them, they don't know where they, when they wake up, they don't know where they're at. They don't know why they're doing, you know, why they're there. We have talked to hundreds of sub-personalities and individuals who are officers, Fort Bragg, Cy Warrior, others, many others over the years. And it's uncanny to see this because a very nice person can be looking at you. A very nice person can be talking, like one lady sitting across from me. Her husband in military uniform brings her in. She sits down, and I bowed my head to write a note. She switched personality, pulled out a bayonet, and tried to clock me through the head. The bayonet stuck in the desk. Law enforcement was called. She was taken away to the psych ward. Nobody could explain that. I watched it in front of me. So there are deaths, there are killings.
That's why people will say afterwards, oh, he was just the nicest person. I can't believe that he would ever do that. He was so friendly. He would do go out of his way to do things for people. Well, I don't know what happened to him, right?
Right. Exactly. And the VTech shooter, the sister, I think it was a relative, said he didn't own a gun. He didn't know how to shoot a gun. And the proficiency rate of him shooting and killing, some compared it to a SWAT team. He was like a killing machine. And then, of course, he took him, you know, blew his face off afterwards. But again, you know, the reasons why. So I hear from individuals that are programmed multiples that I've worked with and dealt with over the years when the VTech shooter came or when the Holmes, you know, they'll at times, coach, they'll write me and say, how'd you like that one, Dizdar? Another test. You know, they'll edge it on a little bit. And but here's what you don't know. One thing is this. People in the CIA, like Dr. Jolly West, Dr. Oren, you've got a number of individuals that are massively proficient in creating personalities, programming personalities, giving code, triggering them, and using them. In that same book I told you about that was written in 1947, that same doctor hired by U.S. military said, we need to create many of these soldiers in every single department of U.S. military and place them, you know, in all of those places.
Just killing machines.
He called it, we needed a hidden fifth column that could be triggered. Now, in our research, in dealing with satanic ritual abuse, that's the method they use in creating the trauma to create the splitting and all the rest. So really, satanic ritual abuse, that's the method. Multiplicity, that's the outcome. But what they're trying to do is create super soldiers. Let me just throw out the estimates. This is estimates that we've worked on for 30-some years. In the United States, no less than 10 million. Every single city, every single township, every little area, everywhere we have been, 80 cities personally, in contacting, researching cities all over, you have sleeper, programmed shooter assassins in every one of these cities in the United States, every state. Why are they here? See, we've learned they're sleeper, they've been placed by design. They've been placed in churches, in law enforcement, they've been placed in educational centers, in government, they are in U.S. military. So that if the code is given, and I wrote this in the beginning of the book about in law enforcement, because I was in law enforcement at the time, I was a police chaplain. You know, you have an officer there, and I was recruited by an officer. Well, I can't go into the whole story, but they were a program shooter. They eventually had to be removed by disability. But I sat in the department talking to sub-personalities in this corporal that recruited me to teach in the academy. And the only reason sub-personality said that, Russ, the only reason we have you here is to watch you to see what you're saying. So when the trigger is given, the sub-personality comes up, they're not your friend. They're not a friend of the rest of the cops. They're not a friend of the rest of the other soldiers. They're not a friend of anybody. The programmed soldier is, if you think in terms of hypnosis, they are tranced out. They're demonically empowered. So think in terms of a trance, a frenzy, a release. They are faster. They are stronger. They're proficient. And they will be tasked with shooting specifically anybody and everybody they can to create carnage. But they also have targets. Their targets are anybody that the New World Order individuals would consider resistors. Talk show hosts, radio show hosts, pastors, anybody like that. You got this is not crazy when we understand the Nazis and the rise. When the Nazis rose and who they eliminate. When Stalin rose to power, who did he eliminate? I mean, this is common in regime change, but the biggest regime change in human history is coming. There's got to be a collapse of everything so that a new order can come in.
And Russ, they said Pol Pot in Cambodia, the Khmer Rouge, he killed everybody who wore glasses. Did you know that? Because in his mind, somebody wore glasses was intelligent. They didn't want any intelligent people around. See, so it's the possibility of this thing is just beyond what we can imagine.
It really is. It is. And in history, we have Stalin, some say 20 million, some say more than that, the Great Purge in Russia, let alone what Hitler. We always focus on Hitler, but it is a biblical theme. The white horse, I believe, involves the release of the Antichrist. But the red horse that nobody talks about, nobody's heard a sermon on, talks about peace being removed from the world instantly. And then this causes people to, the Greek word is not for war, it means svadzo, to slaughter and butcher. It's used in animal ritual sacrifice.
My goodness.
That's right there in Revelation.
So you think there's 10 million in the United States?
At least.
And then what does that mean worldwide, Russ?
Yeah.
I don't know if you folks
worldwide,
have,
because we
listen, hang on a second, Russ. I have some slow learners. Folks, listen, I don't know. You know there's more to the world than just America, don't you? You understand that it's just not us. That this, if global conflict, this seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, is a global thing. It's not just here in the United States and making America great again. We've got to get the big picture and see what's right. going on. So right. if there's 10 million in America, which a population of 320 million people, I guess that's feasible. Worldwide, you think it would be what, Russ?
And that's a secular, that's not my estimate, that's a secular estimation, okay? But that's first generation. Now, here's the difficulty. If I go back 35 years when I began to work with some of these individuals, and we worked with hundreds of them and thousands of hours, and then we traveled to, you know, to France and to Germany and to Badelsberg Castle and to Berlin and then to Poland and Auschwitz. We tracked for years and years. So here's what I'm going to tell you. In our tracking, first generation, when they first started coming out, late 70s, early 80s, the American Psychological Association, they didn't know what to call them. So they first diagnosed them as schizophrenic. Then they changed that, what's called the DSM-3. They brought up the terminology multiple personality disorder. DSM-4, same thing. Then they changed it to dissociative identity disorder, DID. So they know this well. And if you contact 98% of any psych wards in your city, you're going to contact and say, hey, do you guys work with multiple personality disorder or DID and people that have, you know, personalities inside them? You're going to find in your city, in any city that you call and contact, because we paid individuals to do this for us. We've gone to 80 of the cities ourselves directly. Are now between the ages of about 50 to 72. Those are the ones
baby
that
boomers.
Were... Right. Well, they were begun in the 50s.
Right.
This is where the projects began. And so they were begun, but here's what happens. If you do not help them, if you do not break the cycle, if you do not bring them to Christ and bring the healing and bring the deliverance, it's automatic. Their children are going to be SRA. They're going to be multiples. They're going to have the same kind of programming. That's second generation. We're talking 30s up into, you know, 49 years old.
Wow.
If nobody breaks in, nobody does anything to help them, then you're going to go a third generation that's around 23 into the early 30s. We're dealing with fourth generation. I'm dealing with 8-year-olds and 12-year-olds, and so are American psych wards all across the United States.
Wow.
In children's psychiatry, they're dealing with kids with programmed personalities and demonization. And here's what the psych ward nurses, psych ward psychs tell me. Russ, we don't know what to do with them. We can't help them. All we do is feed them Thorazine to keep them calmed down.
Okay, let me stop you there a second, Russ, because this is also a theme here on our show. Folks, my wife's substitute teaches in the public school. She came home yesterday, just going on and on and on about this little demon that she had. She comes home with story after story after story of these little kids that are 6 and 7 and 8 years old that are just, they're just uncontrollable. And the school knows they're uncontrollable, and they put them in a special class, and nobody can control them in a special class. This is exactly what Russ is talking about. And your child is sitting in a classroom with these children. We've got to open our eyes up and understand how serious this whole thing is.
Sure. Sure it is. And again, I believe that two things. I believe this whole underground, there's a physical secrecy beyond the mafia, beyond the drug lords. They got to keep it secret. Secondly, I believe there is a supernatural wall. I do believe it's a, you know, they need to protect their shadow system that is building. But there is no ability to create a global order without the troops. Nobody can have regime change without troops. So if we go back again to Himmler, Himmler and Hitler's dream was to have, and I don't have the quote in front of me. I'd love to give you the quote directly from Himmler. Basically, to paraphrase, if we could have 200 million super soldiers, they called it a master race, godmen, that they would be kind of hybrid. They would be the faster, stronger, bigger, live longer, have powers and all kinds of stuff. Himmler said, if we can do this, we can assure ourselves of conquering the world and maintaining reign for 1,000 years, a 1,000-year Reich. So this is what they believe spiritually. This has not gone away. I believe the scriptures rips open Hell's Kitchen and says, hey, this is what they're going to do. The political New World Order has to also have inseparably connected a militaristic New World Order. Revelation 19:19, the Antichrist, the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies. They're going to be gathering around Jerusalem. They're going to be gathering in the largest militaristic system in human history. Where's it going to come from? So I'm going to say again that what I've worked with for years and years and years, out of their mouths, subpersonalities, shooters, those who've shown me their black uniforms and black berets, their weapons. I even took some weapons away from a couple of them, a Tech 9 with a Hellfire trigger and stuff. Whether we believe it or not, one thing I'll tell you this, programmed personalities in these people I've dealt with for years and years and years, they believe they are the troops of Antichrist, the troops of chaos. They're the ones that are going to come. And here's the words. Russ, we smell Christian blood. Russ, we'll make Hitler's SS troops look like choir boys. And I've watched the triggering.
Folks, I'm going to open it up here a little bit for you with Russ. Here's what folks, try to get you to see this, please. Please. The devil and his minions are great evangelists. They're great evangelists. Remember, they try to mock everything that God has done. And if there are those of us who are out here trying to evangelize the gospel of the kingdom of God, then there are those who are out there trying to evangelize the gospel of the kingdom of darkness. And we do not take it serious. Isaac Newton, I think it was, some smart guy said, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. This thing is balanced out. Now, we know how this thing's going to play out. We understand that. But we are seeing right now that the other side is doing a far better job of evangelism than what we are. Just turn on your TV and see how much Christ and Jesus you hear as opposed to all that other dark side. So it's right before us if we'll simply open our eyes up and see it for what it is. Anybody got something they'd like to ask Russ here real quickly before we...
Yeah, Russ, here's the frustration. Guys like Big Rich and others here in the queue, we're sitting around, we're seeing and we understand, but we've got the denominational churches. They're not even in the sidelines looking in. They have just no clue. So the question is, biblically, prophetically, if all this stuff's going to happen, how can we, as what we feel our people are in the remnant with our eyes open, asking for Christ's leadership and guidance for this? I mean, we all can't be a Russ Dizdar, but we certainly want to be somehow part of fighting this thing, knowing that if we have to go down, you know, and if that machete hits us, okay, that's what our purpose was, and that's our frustration.
But let me piggyback this one, Russ. Great question, Kevin. We don't want to be blindsided. I want to be prepared for how the enemy is going to operate. That you certainly have your antenna up all the time, Russ. You know and you feel and you see, right? I think maybe that's part of the frustration Kevin is saying about some of us. We know this is going on. How do we prepare? What should we be doing?
Hey, well, this is part of what we've found over the years, the infiltration of the church. I think PTL was infiltrated. I think the entire collapse was by a programmed multiple that was brought in to help bring Jim Baker down. I've conveyed information through other individuals to him about that. Churches, as we've already heard from Pastor in Oregon, they've been assigned to go into churches to help bring churches down, to test their powers. So think in terms of this, of all of the satanic, richly abused DID individuals we worked with, and I've worked with probably, I don't know, 400 or 500. I don't even know. We don't keep count. We just work with them. But over the years, but we're talking thousands of hours, spending a lot of time, a lot of prayer time, a lot of deliverance time, a lot of engaging, because there's a difference between the demons and the personalities. The reason we need to understand this is that, again, I was a local pastor for 30 years while I was still doing this. Now, I've been out now for 9 years. I've done 72 conferences, like with you, Dave. I've done conferences all over. And what was said to me a few moments ago on the screen here, that's when, you know, the concern about what do we do? The churches won't listen, et cetera, et cetera. Please understand, I have heard that for 9 years from thousands of people in 72, 75, I don't even know how many conferences, 75 conferences all over the United States. You know, I have traveled out of the Assemblies of God, out of the Southern Baptists. I've worked non-denominationally for over the years. And I'm telling you myself, it's an outrage to me. The body of Christ is not prepared in the content of biblical, let alone biblical prophecy that deals with the huge things need to be also. Both, I believe, empowers the believer, strengthens the believer. So, either we get leadership to understand that this needs to be brought in and done and taught faithfully and taught. I know what it is to be a pastor. I know what it is to be a pastor of a large church, fast-growing church, small churches where there's hardships. I know what it is. 30 years. But we're called to teach everything that Jesus taught. We're to equip the believers with a single thing. Why do we have prophecies? Why do we have this massive content that tells us about Antichrist, false prophet, abyss, demons, and demon possession off the charts, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles? Why, if we have all this content, this will equip the believer. So I'm outraged also.
We don't think it's real. We're not taught that it's real.
You know what I did over the years? But I had law officers, teachers from schools, pastors from churches. We had 54 churches send us demonized people in our offices in Cuyahoga Falls. So what I would do, I would say, yeah, we'll take them, bring them over, but you're going to come into the room. You know why I did that? I said, I'm not going to try to explain afterwards what happened.
And see it.
You need to see this. So when they see a demon manifest fully and they hear the sound of it, feel the presence of it, it's one thing you never forget. I had big hardcore bikers. I had hardcore bikers in a room. As soon as the demonic presence came out and began to talk to this lady, three of those bikers went for the door. I mean, they went for the door. They couldn't handle that. So, listen, I make them come in to watch everything, to see everything, and then we exercise the authority of Christ over the demonic side. Of course, you know, blasting them out. We have the authority to, you know, just kick them out. Praying and then seeing people come to Christ. So what they get to see is, then they see the reality of the dark side. Then they see what's really, you know, that it's just like the scripture shows it. Then secondly, they see, wow, the authority of Christ, the power of Jesus. Only he can deliver. Only he can then save them and fill them and change them just instantly, right there on the spot.
So it's like, hey Russ, it's like this. I tell people this. I get tired of doing this. I get my arm. Come on, let's go. Come on. You see the big crowd behind me. Come on, let's go. I got arthritis in my shoulder, right? And finally, I realized they ain't coming. I can't worry about it. I can't worry about they ain't coming. I know I got to go, right? And so what I want to try to do is I want to try to train, equip, and mobilize these guys. Whether the rest of them are coming or not, I know I have to go. I have to confront it. I have to do something about it. Kevin, that would be my response, hey, Kevin.
Hey, Coach, Ross. Yeah. The Spirit just dropped this in, and I had to jot it down as he told me. What Russ was just speaking on about the leadership of the churches and stuff, the Spirit said churches have created and constructed defensive works behind which the soldiers of Satan are hiding.
Read that again, Larry.
Churches have created and constructed defensive works behind which the soldiers of Satan are hiding.
Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So we do build stained glass fortresses to hide inside, but yet the enemy's infiltrated those stained glass fortresses.
And if all we're doing is creating defensive, protective, spectator-oriented Christian systems, then please, again, back to Jesus in the parables. When you talk about, you know, the sower goes to sow the word, the wheat begins to grow up. During the night, the evil one comes, and what happens? He sows tares directly among them. If you look at the seven churches of Revelation, the Nicolaitans, the Jezebels, the book of 1 John, the Gnostics, the Cerinthian Gnostics, when they're directed by the dark side, they have no problem coming in to corrupt the church, coming in to test it out, coming in to try to divert. If we don't take 1 Peter 5, 8, you know, 7 and 8 clear, the devil, he really is there. He is seeking to devour, you know, someone, to devour them. We're to be alert. We're to be sober-minded. One of my favorite Greek words is gregoruo. It means we're to be alert to the point of spiritually lit up and vigilant, the opposite of passivity. It's the opposite of passivity. So when you go to a local church, and here's, again, the outrage. When you go to local churches, the average, and I've talked about this, of course, the average prayer time is 12 to 18 seconds. And it really doesn't have anything to do with intercession or nothing about warfare prayer. Now, here's what I did at the last church, and churches that have brought me in, and I've done a little bit of training, and they had me do it on a Sunday morning. We would lead the entire church in 30 minutes standing of intercession, praying for souls, praying for the city, praying for the churches, praying for healing, praying for God's power, praying for each other, praying through this whole scenario, and then acknowledging the authority of Christ, Lord, bring destruction to the work of the enemy in this city, and they were to unleash the authority of Christ against anything demonic and come to pray. See, we need to learn that we're allowed to pray against the dark side. Amen. There's still things we can do. There's still things we can do. And so when you have a body lit up like that,
That's it. Effectual fervent. Effectual and fervent.
Yes.
So, Russ, listen, it's important we understand. Now let somebody else jump in here. Number one, this cannot be counseled out. This cannot be drugged out. This cannot be nothing. The only thing that will get that out is the immersion of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that can clean these people up. Yes or no?
Absolutely true. And I would challenge anyone to take a reread of the Gospel of Mark, because when you read the first chapter, it's the nutshell of the entire book of Mark. What is Jesus? He's you know, John the Baptist announces him. Jesus comes and announces the kingdom of God is among you, you know, to repent and be saved now. What does he do? Salvation, deliverance, and healing all in one chapter. That's what we've not been taught in the Western world, that it's all part. You're correct about the denominational issues, because where I've been to where they got, well, we believe these eight things. Well, praise God, those eight things are good, but there's eight more things to believe.
More
things to
pray. Amen.
You want strength in your church. You want more empowerment in your church. You want stronger believers in your church. As a matter of fact, I tell all pastors this. If you teach broader in discipleship and you teach all the content of spiritual warfare and you really explain and teach, I believe you'll cut down 2/3 of your counseling. We'll know how to take care of things.
We're not even taught how to go on offense, Russ. We're not even taught how to play offense. It's all
outrage.
Even in our prayer, come on now, I'm looking at all these guys down there. Admit this, most of you in your prayer time pray only defense. Lord, keep them away from me. Lord, don't let this happen to me. Lord, don't let this happen to my kids. Please, Lord, never, ever are our prayers targeted to Lord, help us smash that SOB in the mouth. Lord, let us kick him in the shin. Never. Right, Russ? That's, we're not even taught that in our churches.
Right. And here's where the abnormality comes in. If you take what you just said and then go back to the book of Acts chapter 8, a second generation Christian named Philip, second generation, he's not an apostle. Take a look at what he's got, the church being scattered, threats from Saul of Tarsus. You know, there's all kinds of bad things are going on. He could have retreated. He could have went, you know, somewhere easy. No, he literally, you know, goes down into Samaria, that is the city. It is completely demonized. There is a high priest there. What happens? Salvation, deliverances, demons go out, people get healed. The city is full of joy at the end of this. He was by himself. When he went down to that city, this is what I'm going to say again, believers don't know how much empowerment, authority, and when we express that, we receive everything by faith, but we manifest it through obedience. We manifest it by going out there and being obedient. So if we take the gospel like that and unleash the gospel, as Philip did in Acts chapter 8, that's my model.
That's what if I want to do.
Yeah. Right there, the Philip factor, Acts chapter 8, that would be the training model. And I would tell you that over all the years that I've trained people, taking them out on the streets, taking them to tough areas, trained soul winners, trained deliverance workers, that's the mentality. And then what happens is more boldness, more competence, you become stronger and stronger, and you become offensive, clearly. I mean, amen. By the time you come to Acts chapter 5, verse 42, you couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop them. They
Tim,
just continued and kept.
Tim, I'm feeling you out there, Tim. What do you got to say, brother? I feel you.
Well, I had a couple I was just going to put in the chat. One is church people say that's what we pay the pastor for.
Hey, Tim, he's Russ. Tim's in Oregon, by the way. Good. That's what we pay the pastor for. Go ahead.
That's what we pay the pastor for. And the pastor says, wait a second. I got a program to put on. I have a show from the pulpit I got to put on. I got worship I got to do. I got a sermon I got to preach.
It's Christmas time. We got to put the tree up and do the carols. Yep, I'm with you.
Yeah, so it's not going to be from the pastoral leadership who are going to take care of this type of stuff. It's going to be lay people who have a burden for this or who God brings them to a person, a victim, let's say. And then they're going to help them.
Yep. Yeah, it is that. It's that. And it's also our call as pastors. And this is where it's tough. It is tough. I've been in situations where I came into a church where, hey, there's things they didn't want to do because they never done it before. Same thing. You know, hey, you're the guy we're paying to, you know, go out there and reach souls. Well, I want to train many of you. I want to see half of the entire body become soul winners.
Amen.
Let alone prayer warriors, let alone to learn how to do deliverance. And that's the one where most Christians, you know, they just like, their hair falls out.
But Russ, let me, well, I'm sorry, my brain goes, I got ADHD. Bear with me here, Russ. Right. So we're talking about deliverances and all this stuff, but I want to make this point very clear. You can't do a deliverance on a multiple, right?
Well,
cast out a multiple.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, multiples, most all multiples created, you know, this underground, they have demons and they have broken personality. So again, think in terms of the authority of Jesus to deal with the demons. They got to come out. Jesus, we ask him to bring healing to the fractured personality so that there's healing and they can come back to wholeness. That's the other side of the issue. So both aspects, they got to come to Christ. They got to have deliverance occur. They got to have inner healing. They got to get into scripture.
So the demons first. The demons first.
That way. I approach it when I have somebody I want to deal, clear out the demonic stuff that takes away the powers, the deceptions, and so forth. Then we engage them to come to Christ. Then we engage separate personalities for Jesus to come and bring healing to them. And then one by one, you begin to see healing occur and wholeness begin to come back. And there's no more program shooter. There's no more program runner. There's no more program pedophile that will get into your church and hurt your kids in the nursery.
So are strongholds mindsets, are those demonic, Russ?
They can be. I think a stronghold is, again, taking what the enemy's throwing to believe. You're believing something that's not true. So the Spirit of God only operates on what is true. So if we're believing a lie of the enemy and we believed it and believed it and believed it, it becomes a stronghold. Now the enemy can then, you know, put his hand on that, hold that down. And so it becomes something where we got to, you know, and a believer that understands authority, you know, we can say, in the name of Jesus, get out of here and then deal with the stronghold. But the most important thing is, what is the stronghold? What is the lie? It's if we can learn, you know, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and see if there's any offensive thing in me, then lead me in the way everlasting. So we can pray for the Spirit of God to search. If we have strongholds of the flesh, well, we've been delivered. We've been saved. We've been, you know, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free. But our part of this is, count yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Don't offer the parts to the other side. Walk in the Spirit. You'll get stronger and stronger. There will be temptations, but you've been given empowerment and you've been set free. But if you all of a sudden find a stronghold can be a lie from 20 years ago. Then it operates in you, and you think you've been told you're an idiot long enough, and then all your life, I'm an idiot. I'm not going to try something new. I'm not going to go to the evangelism class. I'm not going to learn about evangelism. I'm an idiot. I'm not going to go to the prayer class and learn about prayer because I'm an idiot. Yeah. So that stronghold is a lie. And what needs to happen is the Spirit of God to come to show you that, and then renounce the stronghold and replace the lie with truth. When you take out the lies and replace with truth, the Spirit of God then, he operates on truth.
Jenny!
And there is a freedom.
Jenny wants to jump in here on the phone. Jenny, you're on the air with all of us and Russ Dizdar.
Hi, Coach. Thank you. And hey, Russ, my name is Jennifer. I live in the Pittsburgh area. I walked in on a situation with my sisters. They were left at a daycare center. And the guy was a pedophile, and I've talked to Coach about this and also other people. Mm-hmm. When we were placed in foster care, we were placed with people. I actually had been raised a Christian. My dad, he just made a lot of bad decisions at the time. He wasn't involved with our family. But they tried to recruit us in foster care by twisting our words around. Eventually came out that the foster mother was and her family were embezzling, which now is under investigation for
sexual. Yeah.
Some locked it up there, Russ. I don't know what it was.
But I know what she's talking about because I want her to know that we have a thing called Project Pennsylvania. I've been to Pennsylvania, about 170 times. We've been to Pittsburgh. We've been all over. In Pennsylvania, because of the German internment camps, just a quick note, you have thousands and thousands of multiples from the 50s on. We're constantly in Pennsylvania all the time for this very scenario. Maybe we can come to, email me. Maybe we can come to Pittsburgh and meet up and hear about this because nurseries and daycare centers are a target not only for pedophiles, but pedophiles that are in the, like the McMartin case issue. There's more to that story than ever came out. We dealt with one up in Ravenna, same thing. But you're right. It could be a pedophile, but it also can be the SRA MPD thing to where they'll begin to hypnotize kids. They'll begin to work, other things on the kids and damage them. I was called to Kent State, Ohio, by a vineyard pastor to deal with twins that were at this daycare place. Both 8-year-olds had demons, and they also had subpersonalities.
8 years old.
Both of them.
Right.
All
right.
Of them were done at the daycare.
Listen, we tried to recruit us when we were little kids. I was 14. The thing that saved me, and I really is because I had already a fact. My dad was really informed, like, he was like the Alex Jones at that time. He knew everything. He was a computer engineer. He saw all this. He's been passed away since. But plus, you go into these areas, you try to talk to these churches, they'll stonewall you. They'll say, nah. It's a dead subject. You can't. The stonewall is unbelievable because of the grip of Catholicism. And you can't. There are a lot of kids here in this area, especially. If you were to talk to them, they would be like right on board with you, but they have nowhere to turn to because of the stonewalling, and it's mostly thumb on their nose and saying, well, you're not doing the right thing. But these kids are doing the right thing. They're reaching out to me. There's some in my family. They're saying, yeah, we believe what you're saying, but it's our parents, it's the adults that are stonewalling these kids because they're the ones that are saying, yeah, this is what they're doing, and there's not enough adults to listen to these kids. These kids are it really puts us in a helpless situation. So I'm going to get off the phone to listen to the rest of your response.
Thanks, Jenny.
Jennifer, just thank you. Contact me because we have another case in Pennsylvania, in Pittsburgh. We have a case in Washington. We have a case in just all the way to Lititz, actually. So I'd like to hear more about it because a couple of problems is not trained to understand the covert work of this multiplicity underground system.
Folks, shatter mailbox, shattermailbox@yahoo.com. That's Russ's email. Shatter, his ministry, Shatter the Darkness, shattermailbox@yahoo.com. Yeah, go ahead, Sarah.
Steve, okay.
So I just wanted you to know that we'd be willing to look into the case.
Good morning, Steve. Coach. Good morning, Mr. Dizdar. Just to let you know that my family and I have been praying for you for years. We will continue to do so, cover you in the blood of Jesus Christ and your whole family, everywhere you go in everything that we do. A little elementary question. When things go on, when you, like, for instance, walk into a building or a house and the presence of evil is there, and then it more or less manifests, someone being pushed against a wall, things breaking, things moving. What actually is that causes that?
And what do you do? Great question, Steve.
Sure, very good question. And you know, I would say this, because of your authority, demons can be in buildings, can be in houses because somebody did a ritual, somebody did something. You know, they have a... If they're there for by reason. There's a doorway. Somebody helped bring it in. Somebody did something there, and they're operative in the area. So there could be harassment. There could be a demon on an object that a Satanist left somewhere. So when I walk into a building somewhere, if I feel something like that, I begin to like pray, like, Lord, what is this? What's going on here? Show me what's going on here. And then if we need to, we might need to target something and directly pray. We've been called to a lot of buildings, a lot of churches, a lot of houses to come through. And so there's always a doorway, a right that they've gotten there. Find out what that is.
Okay, Russ, listen. I'm going to interrupt, man. I got 2 minutes. Hey, Russ. Yes. Hey, I'm going to look you in the eye here, buddy.
Yes.
Why the hell aren't you afraid? when you go see this stuff, why are you not afraid?
I'm going to tell you because, again, just anybody can study Psalm 91. 35 years in the field, death threats, people come to my house, they came to steal my daughter in the church, bullets. I'm going to tell you this, I have witnessed the protection of God again and again and again, and I am outraged. I'm outraged. To hell with the devil. I'm outraged with the dark side. We got to give our lives up.
Amen.
You know? We got kids that they're doing this to, and you got to take every, you know, our teams will come into area. We have a SIIU, a Shatter Intervention Investigative Unit that's been out there for years. And we go into cities. I've been up north 2 weeks ago and down in your area in Newark 2 weeks ago. And we got cases all over the place, but we have no problem turning in the bad guys. We have no problem dealing with that. But because of the spiritual authority, because what we've been given, because of the mission of Jesus, he calls to go. And being obedient to that,
he said he'd be with us, didn't he, Russ? He just didn't say go and I'll catch up with you at some point. He said go and I'll be with you.
Everything he said he would be with us, you know, that's why I like Mark's Gospel 16:20. He's with us in every way. The power of the Spirit of God, the work that he's going to do, he'll the glory of the Lord, Isaiah 50, the glory of the Lord will be our rear guard. So, yes, step out in biblical faith and obedience, and as you keep doing that again and again and again and again, you're gonna feel the manifest presence of the Spirit of God. You're gonna see the authority of the Lord. You're gonna win souls. You're gonna pray. When you're gonna cast out demonic stuff, you're going to you're gonna be outraged to the dark side. Part of what motivates me, I mean, I'm compelled by the love of Christ, number one. But I am outraged of the darkness and what it's doing to millions and little kids. And I'm also urgent because how late it really is. It's really late.
So, Russ, here's what we're going to do next. Here's what we're going to do next Tuesday, because we're out of time. Provided you can be on with us, I want you to do. I want you to show us how to do it, Russ. Do some role playing, some make believe. How you go in and how you actually confront a spirit, the words you use, how you do it. I think for most of us, that's all we need. That's all. Russ, when we went back, I was in Dallas, wherever we were, and I saw you confront that spirit. I went to a homosexual pride parade, and this sodomite spirit came up to me, brother, and I just did what I saw you do and commanded that thing to shut up. And Russ, it was like a gate went across that thing's mouth. It could not speak back to me. And so I think all we need is just to be able to understand how to do it, to see that it works. And I know that the guys that are in this queue, that they're going to be warriors, and they're not going to be afraid to do it. But somebody's not going to do something that they don't know how to do. It's, you don't want to poke a bear if he's going to bite at you, right? And so we got to figure out what to do when he bites. Thanks, Russ, for being on here with us. Man, mine's just racing. Shatter Mailbox. In fact, Russ's website. What's that great book that you've just my brain's dead, Russ. What's your book?
Oh, The Black Awakening. Yeah, The Black Awakening. Black. Lies of the Satanic Super Soldier. Yeah, The Black Awakening. Black Awakening.
That's all at Russ's website, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net. God bless you. I hope you're not scared. I hope you're empowered, and I hope you're willing to stand up for the cause of Christ. God bless you. We'll see